Welcome to another message from Brian Nugent, lead pastor at Generations Church. It is our prayer that this message will be a blessing and encouragement to your life.
All right. Hey, take your Bibles this morning and turn to the Gospel of Matthew chapter 4. I'm going to be there in just a moment. This is the second part of a series that I just called Passion, because passion helps bring focus to our lives. We're not created to just be mundane and boredom and just simply going through life as just existing through life. But passion brings enthusiasm to our life routine and joy, and we want that in our lives. So this series is just a reminder that that he wants us to live a passionate life. Last week we talked about the first part of the series was about faithfulness over fruitfulness. We don't want to just go through the routines, but we want to live a, we want to live a fruitful life. So also in this series, we're doing our 21 days of spiritual health. We kicked off last week with emphasis on fasting and praying, and many people in our church, man, they're just extending that however you want to do that. This week, our emphasis is on reading the scriptures, and I got a couple of resources. If you're kind of new and don't know a lot about the Bible, at guest services, I bought 30 of these, and they'll last as long as they're there. One of them says, how to study the Bible. The other is Know Your Bible. It's kind of a book-by-book synopsis to kind of help you unpack and understand the scriptures. So those are at guest services there. Also, when you came in today, there should be a Fuel 15 card. That is a resource that we put out once a month that we encourage you to worship, read scripture, and pray. And resource, we give you worship list, we give you study ideas, we give you devotional ideas. We try to put information at your fingertips that will help you, in your personal time with the Lord. The Bible says in the book of Psalms, the precepts of the Lord are right, giving joy to the heart. Your statutes are my heritage forever. They are the joy of my heart. So when we talk about reading the Bible, it doesn't have to be this boring ritual and routine, but there is joy and enthusiasm and passion that can come through the reading of God's word. So, all right, the Gospel of Matthew chapter 4, I want to read this experience in Jesus' life. It says, Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. After fasting 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. The tempter came to him and said, if you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become bread. Jesus answered, it is written, man shall not live on bread alone, but every word that comes from the mouth of God. Then the devil took him to the holy city and had him stand on the highest point of the temple. If you are the Son of God, he said, throw yourself down, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you, and they will lift up you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone. Jesus answered, it is also written, I'm lost. Where did I go? I'm so sorry. Do not put the Lord your God to a test. All right. Again, the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their splendor. All of this I will give you, he said, if you bow down and worship me. Jesus said to him, away from me, Satan, for it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only. Then the devil left him and the angels came and attended him. So, from this passage, we can see several things about Jesus and the Word of God. Several things that we can see here. First thing, God's Word was important in the life of Jesus. God's Word was important in the life of Jesus. So, if there's anybody that didn't need to know the Bible, it would have been Jesus, all right? But Jesus, it was the Word of God was a part, it was a part of his life. From the very beginning, God began to speak, you know, like in creation. He spoke, and man, all of creation began to come into order. And every time that God spoke, man, something happened. And over the course of time, people were going, man, when God speaks, something happens. And boy, they started writing it down. They started recording it, you know, about God's word and what was happening. And I want to tell you, that written record is still here today. And I want you to know that when God's word is spoken, when God's word is prayed, when God's word is believed, things still happen in 2019. I believe that. Jesus even made the declaration about the word of God. He said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes out of the mouth of God. So Jesus is saying, man, there is something about the word of God. There is life. There is sustenance. There is nutrition. When we read the word of God, there is understanding. There is direction. There is wisdom. There is purpose. And there is hope through the word of God. Jesus didn't live his life separate from the word of God. His life was integrated. Look at this. Jesus regularly quoted the word of God. He regularly quoted the word of God. 49 times is the record. 49 times he quoted the Old Testament scripture. He knew it. Now, part of that was the system that he was raised up in. He's in a Jewish home. And I wanted to say this to the parents. Most of Jesus' training, when it came, you know, from the scriptures, did not come from the synagogue. It came from the home. Oh, that was such a good amen point there. You know what? Because on the Sabbath, man, the Jewish home, you went to the synagogue, and part of that experience was not only at the church, but it was at the home. They were reciting the stories of scripture, and they were memorizing scripture, and he was raised up, you know, kind of in this family and home culture of the word of God. Now, not only that, I mean, he quoted 49 times. He quoted the Old Testament scripture throughout his ministry. And most of it was just extemporaneously. It was just off the cuff. He didn't know. He wasn't prepared. He just knew it. So part of it was the way that he was raised. But part of it was when he got older. If you'll remember, from the time that he was 12 until he was 30, there's no record of where he was at or what he was done, but it was in that season of his life that Jesus really began to expose and know the word of God. Even as he was alive here on earth, there would be times that he would go away. He would get up early. He would stay up late, and he's learning and reading over, you know, reading over the scripture. So I want to remind you too, Jesus did not live a life where his life was separate apart from the word of God. Man, he just didn't know it. Man, he had it, you know, he had it memorized. And I want to give you something else out of this particular passage. Jesus was victorious in this circumstance because of God's word. So he's on the Mount of Temptation, all right? Now, a couple of things was working, you know, working for him was that he was led by the Spirit. He was in a session of fasting and praying, but he also knew God's word. He used God's word. He spoke God's word. He prayed God's word. He had it memorized. I want to tell you, in this circumstance, he was victorious because of the word of God that was working in his life. And I want to tell you, we need the word of God in our life. We need that, but I want to tell you, the statistics on Bible reading, man, they're just going down. People in the church world, they don't read the Bible. They're not reading the Bible. Almost 1 in 5 churchgoers say they never read the Bible. 20% go, you know, I don't read it at all. Only 45% of people who attend church regularly read the Bible more than once a week. Man, Bible reading in the church world is on the decline. The understanding about God is, you know, it's on the decline. This book is underused, it is underappreciated, and it's underestimated, in my opinion. Now listen to me. I think we are way too dependent on preaching, podcast, and devotionals. Now, you might think that's odd coming from me, okay? But I think a sermon or a podcast or a devotional is how God spoke to someone else, and they are just telling you what God spoke to them, okay? But I want you to know that God has something that he wants to speak to you. God has something through his word that he wants to say to you. Now, there's nothing wrong with having those things as a part of your spiritual diet, but many people, almost all of their spiritual diet outside of the church throughout the week are somebody else's sermon, a podcast, or reading a devotional, okay? Now, look, nothing wrong with that, but man, God wants to say something to you. If you're a big devotional user, that's not a problem. But a devotion is when somebody's taken the scripture and they've written down what God has said to them about that, okay? And so you're reading somebody else's word and experience. All right, now here's my thought. You do the same thing. You open up the scripture. You write down what God is saying to you about that. You keep a journal. Then put it into a book. Call it Jesus Calling Chapter 2 and make $1 million off of it. God has something through his word that he wants to speak to us. And I feel like we are missing, listen, the individual training and inspiration that the Holy Spirit might have for us if our diet is just coming, you know, it's just coming from other people. Now, I want to do this part. Things to know about the Bible if you're new to faith in Jesus or you're under the age of 30. All right, things to know about the Bible if you're new to faith in Jesus or you're under the age of 30. Now, if you're outside of those, can I just tell you, you know, people don't know the Bible like they used to. I didn't have a choice. You know, I was in Sunday school. I didn't have a choice. It was a family rule violation, okay? And I was the only guy. I was the only boy in my Sunday school class. I absolutely hated it when I was 10. My mother would drop me off at the front door. I would walk down through the hall, go to the bathroom. By the time my mother parked the car, I would loop back around and go get in the car, all right? I didn't have a choice until she knocked on the car. She learned, you know, the gig was up there. I didn't have a choice. It's not the same today. People aren't raised in church. They don't know the Bible. And, you know, the statistics say that young adults 30 and under, when they view the Bible, they don't even see it as a sacred book. It's just another book out there. And they also, 30 and under, you know, they view it negatively. They see it as a restrictive book. So I just want to take a moment. I want to talk to people who are new in their faith. I want to talk to you if you're 30 years of age and younger. I want to talk to you, you know, about the Bible. So let me just give you some basic things. Number one, the Bible is a book to tell you about and help you understand God. Now, I love biographies. I love to read biographies. So this past year, I read Pillow for My Helmet, Robert Leckie. He was a World War II guy, fought in Guadalcanal. He fought in Okinawa. I loved that book. I read in November, I read about Condoleezza Rice, great politician, great woman, African-American woman of faith. Because I love biographies because it's kind of easy, you know, to understand about, you know, about their particular life. So the Bible, on a large scale, it's a biography for you to understand about God. And through stories and songs and poetry and parables and teachings, it shows you and teaches you about God. So as we read the Bible, we see how he interacts with Israel, and we can learn things from that. We see how he interacts with individuals, great individuals and flawed individuals. We can see, you know, through teachings and parables, how we are to live our life. 66 different books written over 1,500 years, you know, multiple authors, centuries, cultures, but yet the narrative harmony of the Bible is, you know, it's unbelievable. Now, this book, like when I I was 17 when I came to the Lord, and I did not like to read. I only read sports pages. You know, that was it. I like to read my English book. You could tell that on my report card. If it was the Birmingham News or if it was Sports Illustrated, I devoured that. All right. But that was about it. But I want to tell you something. But I was passionate about, I love sports. I love Major League Baseball, college football, pro football. I liked it all. All right. But when I got saved, you know, this guy that didn't normally read, there was just something about that book because I wanted to learn more about God. So I'm 17 years old. I got a Bible that's about this big. You know, it's a little larger than a pocket size. That's all that I had. It was the old King James. Begets, these, thous, all of that. But you know what? It didn't matter to me because I was passionate about that. I wanted to know more about God. And man, I would just read that Bible every day. And no one told me when I came to the Lord, hey, man, you need to start a devotional plan. You need to read the Bible every day. Nobody told me that. But I just did it because I wanted to find out more of God. There was something out of this great experience that I had about Jesus. There was something that made me want to read God's word. So I want to tell you this morning, we need that. We need that as part of our lives. So the Bible is the biography, how we learn about God and we understand about God. Second thing I want you to know, if you're new or under 30, Jesus and his role as our Savior is the central storyline of the Bible. That's it. Now, I know that it starts in Genesis. And man, you got the creation. You got the flood. You know, you got Moses and all the plagues, and you're going, where's Jesus? Where's Jesus? I'm just telling you, all throughout the Old Testament, the foundation is laid through the writings of the Old Testament that one day when Jesus appears through the gospel, there's a lot of things about the Old Testament that you will go, man, they were pointing to Jesus already. Jesus is the central storyline, you know, of the Bible. So then Jesus appears through the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and we see through his teachings, his miracles, the life transformations that occurred to people who he interacted with. Man, we see the fulfillment of all the Old Testament, you know, all that the Old Testament had. So when you read the Bible, you got to know that the central storyline is about Jesus. Something else I want you to know about the Bible, if you're new to faith or under 30. The Bible is trustworthy for contemporary life applications. It's trustworthy for a contemporary life application. So first of all, the Bible deals with things like my sin, my brokenness, the fractured humanity and relationship, you know, away from God. The Bible deals with that and tells me how that I can be restored through a relationship with God through Jesus. But then, after that, the Bible has all kinds of teachings on family, marriage, work, stewardship, relationships. Man, I want you to know, man, that the Bible is trustworthy, even in 2019, for young people to use as a foundation for decision-making in their life. It's trustworthy. All right, so let me go a little deeper here. There are a lot of young people, young believers, young people, maybe they weren't raised in church. There's a few things that they don't know about the Bible that you and I may take for granted, okay? So just give me another moment, all right? So what is the most important verse in the Bible? If you're in college and your professor asks, what is the thesis statement? Don't you hate when you have to underline and figure it out what the thesis statement is? But if I had to give you like one verse that kind of takes all the Bible and kind of puts it in one, you know, kind of puts it in one sentence, it would be this, John 3:16-17. All right, look at this. If you're new, if you're young, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, and whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God didn't send his son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. So if you're new, if you're new to faith, if you're young, that is a great passage to underline and even memorize, because to us in the church, man, this whole big Bible, you want to know the thesis statement, that scripture is the thesis statement, because it talks about God's love for us, our separation from humanity, the love of Jesus on the cross, forgiveness of sin, you know, eternity in heaven. That thesis verse, man, is chock full of all kinds of Bible doctrine. So if you're new, that's the thesis sentence for us when it comes to the Bible. All right, something else. 50% of all churchgoers don't know the Great Commission or can't quote it. All right. So if you're new, just let me tell you this. This is a verse that we in the church believe that God tells us, you know, to take this message and go to others. I want to read it to you, just being very simple. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you. Surely I am with you always, even unto the very age. So to us in the church, that's a really important passage, because it tells us that the faith that we've experienced in Jesus is not just personal, but man, on a personal level, he wants us to let the nations know. He wants us to let the neighborhood know. He wants us to let the marketplace know. But he wants to let the nations know. So if you're new, that's called the Great Commission. Underline that. Memorize that. And some of you that are a little older and you didn't know that, you know, you underline that. All right? So let me say this, especially if you're 25 years of age and younger, I want you to listen to me, and you're a follower of Jesus. I think it's really important that you develop some regularity when it comes to your time of worship, in reading scripture, in praying throughout the week. I think it's a really important habit to develop now that will help you the rest of your life. Having a few moments throughout the week where you worship God, where you read God's word, where you pray. You know, I told you, nobody told me about devotional time or whatever. I just couldn't imagine if I had a few moments and I didn't want to read or sing or whatever. All I had downstairs in my room was an old Happy Goodman's album, and I put it on. I worshiped. My first devotional was with Vestal Goodman, Setting Another Place at the Table. All right? So I just want to say, if you're young, you don't have to do it every day if you don't want. But I'm just saying, over the course of your week, start with regular time with God. And I promise you, it will bear fruit the rest of your life if you'll be faithful to that. So, all right, some challenges with our Bible reading. Challenges with our Bible reading. All right, a couple of things. First of all, here's a challenge. Reading in general has decreased in the last 20 years. People don't read anymore. They don't read as much anymore. So reading the Bible is, trying to get people to read the Bible is not just a spiritual thing. It's a cultural thing as well. Newspaper articles are shorter. You know, newspapers, you know, are not as thick as they used to be. Books intentionally are edited smaller. I mean, people just, you know, they just don't read as much anymore. So one challenge, you know, to get people to read their Bible is people aren't doing as much leisure reading at all. Maybe teachers can, you know, maybe attest to that. So that's one challenge. Another challenge is our attitude and expectations when we read. Our attitude and expectations when we read. So when it's time to read the Bible and you go into it like, okay, you know, you go into it with the same thought as you do your yearly physical, okay? There's no excitement, no joy, just like, okay, I'm doing this out of duty and obligation. You know, when you have the wrong attitude and expectation when you read, let me just say, if there's an expectation that you won't get anything out of your reading, I promise you won't get anything out of your reading, all right? You won't. But if you read God's word, if you read God's word and you realize that it's a living, breathing document, and that there is a great potential when I read the written, spoken words of God, man, that God might have a word for me. God might have some inspiration for me. There may be something that God may drop in my heart about my future or about right now. And if you go into your reading knowing, man, that there may be something that can happen during that Bible reading, it changes your whole, you know, perspective. You just go into it like you're reading a history book. You know, if that's just the way you're approaching it, you know, I'm just going to do my duty and read. It will be the most boring few moments you have, all right? But if you have some kind of faith expectation, you may be surprised what can come out of that reading. Can I just tell you in my life, even before I got in the ministry, you know, there were times that God spoke to me through his word. I'm just reading. And man, something jumped off the page in my life, and it came with the clarity as though God was speaking into my ear, all right? Now, that didn't happen every day that I read, but I'm just telling you, there is the potential, if we have the right frame of mind when we read God's word, that he could speak something life-changing, something wonderful, something of instruction in our particular life. We love application. We love direction. It doesn't matter how bad the Chinese food is. We always read the fortune cookie, right? We always read it. We just never know. We just never know. So our attitude and expectation is another challenge. How about, this is to you that have been in it a while. We've read it so many times, it just doesn't seem as exciting as it used to. We've read it so many times, just that excitement and, you know, learning, because we kind of know what's in it. So we don't read with any, you know, excitement or any anticipation or expectation. So we don't kind of read. Now that's not the way we live our lives in other areas, okay? So, like, we'll watch the same TV shows 100 times. Any Andy Griffith fans out there? Aunt Bee's Pickles, Citizens Arrest. How many times have you seen that? And we still watch it. Still laugh. Any Friends fans out there? How many times you seen that? Ross with his white teeth, you know, the Thanksgiving football game. How many times have you seen that? Do you turn it off when it comes on? How many of you, oh, this will be a good one. How many of you have seen Jack slide into the cold waters of the Atlantic in the shadow of the Titanic, and you still cry? Every time you see it, you still cry. So it's not a logic that we apply everywhere. So, you know, so we've read God's word. So we know God's word. Do you realize that God can still have something fresh, because this is a living text? This is a living, breathing text. For God's word, Hebrews says, for the word of God is alive and active and sharper than any two-edged sword. It penetrates even to the dividing of soul and spirit and joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and the attitude of the heart. Did you get the first part of that? It is an alive, it's a living, breathing book that can still change your life when you've been in it 20, 30 years. Now listen. We believe in the power of the Holy Spirit. We believe that the Holy Spirit is our teacher. But it's hard to teach when you don't have a textbook. Teachers, right? It's hard to instruct if there's not a textbook. So we have this weird kind of setup with the Holy Spirit where we want him to teach us and guide us and speak to us, but yet there's minimal usage of God's word in our life. It's tough for the Holy Spirit, the teacher, to teach when there's no textbook in our life. He cannot teach and instruct what you do not read. And then when we don't read, man, there's all kinds of other things, you know, that just come in. We have a culture that is very aggressive against things that we believe. And do you know that the beliefs in the church on psychics and reincarnation and astrology is almost the same as the world? You know, it's just lags behind just a little bit because we haven't really been people of the word. So a lot of this culture, a lot of this, you know, spirituality is just kind of floated in. And man, it's found a, you know, it's found a place in the church. All right, so let me give you, how about some tips to make your Bible reading productive? All right, let's just talk about that for a moment. When we sit down, I mean, what can we do? Now, first of all, if you don't have a Bible, if you're new, you don't have a Bible, you go to guest services, you come to me, one of our pastoral team. If you want a paper book, we will give you one. We will get you one. You know, if we don't have one out there, we will get you one this morning. Now, a lot of people, they use the Bible app, Bible.com. You know, it doesn't matter if it's digital or paper. I still like paper. I'm still a paper reader. I like to underline, turn the pages and all that. But that's up to you. So make sure you got that Bible. And then have a reading plan. I mean, what's your plan? What's your plan? Don't just open the Bible and just read in random places. It would be like trying to read the history of the United States, you know, and you read a chapter from the colonial era, then the next day you read a chapter from the, you know, from the 1800s, and then you read a chapter in the 1960s, and you would not really get kind of any collective understanding. So there's a lot of different ways you can read the Bible all the way through. I recommend if you're new that you start with the Gospels, or you pick a book, or you pick a word. You can do a word study, or you can, you know, study an individual. There's all kinds of ways that you can crack open God's word, but have some kind of reading plan. Listen to audio tapes of the scripture being read. This helps me. It helps me because I read too fast. I read way too fast. Plus, a lot of times I already know the story. I already know the story. So in my mind, I'm already cycled through it. But when somebody else is reading it, it slows me down. They accentuate different words and sentences. And let me tell you, it just kind of pops, you know, sometimes. Find a Bible with study notes in it. So sometimes we're reading, there are uncommon words, things that we don't really know and understand. And sometimes the notes at the bottom of the Bible, you know, can kind of help, you know, kind of get you through. I can recommend one of those to you if you want to come see me, you know, you want to come see me after church. Underline, highlight, write notes in your Bible. Let me just tell you something. If God is going to speak something to you, it might be worth writing it down, okay? So I don't read without a pen. I mean, I keep a pen in my hand, I underline all the time. You know, the God, something may jump out to you that gets your attention, that you want to study, you know, that you want to study again. So, and then something else, you know, study with other people. You know, that is one of the easiest ways of getting to know the Bible is study with other people. Now listen, we got small groups starting next weekend. That is a great way to meet new people, but it's also a great way to study the Bible together, and you have a facilitator and people are making comments and it gives you a chance to grow. But there's all kinds of ways, man, there's all kinds of Bible studies and coffee groups and work groups, but sometimes it's easier to study the Bible together. So now, here's what I'm doing this week. This week is our emphasis on scripture reading. So I'm asking you, if you don't have a reading plan already, I'm asking you to read the Gospel of Mark with me. Mark is the shortest of the Gospels. It is the most succinct story about Jesus. Chapters are shorter, doesn't go into all the details of the other book, but it gives you a great, you know, a great snapshot look at the life of Jesus. Now, if you've already got your reading plan, don't blow it, you know, don't blow it. If you want to add the Gospel of Mark, you can do that. But if you haven't really started a reading plan, you know, you're one of those, you were going to read the Bible starting January 1 and you've already blown it. All right, God this morning is giving you another opportunity to catch up. So it's just a couple of chapters a day. We started our devotions the other night. We kind of got a little head start and started doing that. If you see something, shoot me an email, a text. I want to hear what you're seeing out of that. But let's be people of the word. And if you don't have a reading plan this week or you already started, then let's start with the Gospel of Mark, and you can start today and you'll be done next week. Now let me just say this. There's this myth out there that the Bible is so hard to understand. You know, I can't read it. I don't understand it at all. Now listen to me. I think it's a myth because most of the writers were shepherds or fishermen. They weren't educated people. These weren't scholars. You had probably one educated person, and that was Paul. Everybody else was just had little formal education or no formal education at all. So when you go, man, it's just so hard for me to, you know, so hard for me to do that, then I just go, man, it was written by people with little or no education. So it is not up here where you cannot understand, you know, or comprehend it at all. So I just want to mention that to you. Now, we have a great treasure in this book. I told you, I think it's underused, underappreciated, underestimated. You know, there's been over 178 million whatever downloads of it around the world. It's the most published book. It's more accessible in more languages to us than it ever has been. But yet, usage of this wonderful gift is down. People are barely reading it. I'll say it again. I think people are too dependent on preaching, podcast, and devotionals, and they're not reading it. But I want you to know it's a precious book. It's a precious gift that I think we've lost appreciation for. Outside of Indonesia, off to the western part, it's a little island called Papua New Guinea. Out on the western part, there's a tribe, the Kimayal tribe. It's one of the most remote tribes in civilization. You know, very little access, very little interaction, you know, with people, no electricity. They didn't even have a map of that area until like the 1930s. They don't know how many people even live there today because there's been so little interaction with people. It's still very tribal, you know, and it's set up. About 60 years ago, somebody just dropped a few little scriptures written in their language. They don't have a Bible. They don't have the Bible at all. They just had a few scriptures written on paper in their particular language. That's all they had. And I'm going to show you a video because the Word of God was able to come to this tribe, and I want you to see their reaction. Worship team, you can come. This is the arrival of the scriptures.
And the labor one is that we're
Word of God. We've been so fortunate. It's been in our country, in our language. You know, we pass it by, leave it on the shelf. Go weeks and days and we don't even pick it up. God's word for you and I. Then you look and that was a country and they're happy. Tribal chiefs came out to receive the word of God. So joyful. It's not a message of rebuke. This morning it's not. It's a message of reminder that the spiritual diet of the believer was never intended to exist apart from the word of God. The spiritual nutrition, the spiritual sustenance. Man shall not live by bread alone. There's something else. By every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. This morning I want to close. I've got some people who are going to read some scripture this morning about God's word and the power of God's word. Let's do that this morning. Who's the first one?
Precious than gold, than much pure gold. They are sweeter than the honey from the honeycomb.
Isaiah chapter 55, verse 8. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts higher than your thoughts. As the rain and the snow come down from heaven, and do not return to it without watering the earth, and making it to bud and flourish, so that it yields seed for the sower and bread for the eater, so is my word that goes out from my mouth. It will not return to me empty, but it will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose for which I sent it.
Psalm 119, verse 129. Your statutes are wonderful, therefore I obey them. The unfolding of your words gives light, it gives understanding to the simple. I open my mouth and pant, longing for your commands. Turn to me and have mercy on me as you always do to those who love your name. Direct my footsteps according to your word. Let no sin rule over me. Redeem me from human oppression that I may obey your precepts. Make your face shine on your servant and teach me your decrees. Streams of tears flow from my eyes, for your law is not obeyed.
Oh, how I love your law. I meditate on it all day long. Your commands are always with me and make me wiser than my enemies. I have more insight than all my teachers, for I meditate on your statutes. I have more understanding than the elders, for I obey your precepts. I have kept my feet from every evil path so that I might obey your word. I have not departed from your laws, for you yourself have taught me. How sweet are your words to my taste, sweeter than honey to my mouth.
The grass withers and the flowers fall, but the word of our God endures forever. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away.
The word of God. Centuries have come and gone, but yet its truth and its principles, they never change. The critic has said we don't need the word of God, but yet today it's published in more languages and more dialects than ever before. The Bible is God's word. It's absolute truth of an unchanging God in an ever-changing culture, but it never changes. It's God's living, breathing word.
This concludes the message. We pray that you are encouraged and strengthened. For more information, please visit our website at gctlh.org.